Persistence. That's a fundamental thing. And I suppose we've been learning that the practice of persistence is directly linked to your joy. When you are in the state of joy, you are strengthened to be persistent. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I want to explore with us as we continue discussing that subject of joy. But this morning I want to start out from the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter, the book of Zephaniah chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 17 through 20. This is a prophetic declaration. And the Lord wants me to pronounce this prophetic declaration over us today. I want you to receive this as a word from the Lord directly to you, as an individual, as a family, as a corporate body, the church. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is what? Mighty." We sang about the mightiness of God this morning. He's a mighty warrior. And God says, He, the Lord God, in our midst is mighty. So I say, the Lord God in our midst is mighty. Then he says, He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Hallelujah. God himself will rejoice over us with joy. Let me state it again. He will rejoice over thee, over us, with joy. Now, you know, sometimes I read the word of God and I say, what are you saying? He will save. I understand that. He will rejoice over thee with joy. What other way can you rejoice if it is not with joy? Are you going to rejoice over them with grief? No. But God is saying, I am going to do double. Amen? I am going to come into that overflow as I rejoice over you. Because the word of God says, we'll come back to Zephaniah 3:17 again. But the word of God says in Isaiah 29 and verse 19, it tells us that joy can be increased. Isaiah 29 and 19. It says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Amen? So the joy has incremental levels. And so God is saying to us, listen, you have joy here, but I'm going to take you to another level of joy, and take you to another level of joy, and take you into another level of joy. And with every level of joy, your strength is being renewed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Part of that joy is the favor and the prosperity of God. The backbone of poverty is destroyed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the what? To the poor. Now that tells me then that part of this increase in the joy that comes into our lives is because the Word of God is spoken into our lives. Amen. Remember when we started from the book of Nehemiah, the importance of the word as it relates to joy? Well, God wants His word to take root in our hearts. And as His word takes root in our hearts, joy will be the result. Hallelujah. The meek person is a person who is strong but has put his strength in control. And our meekness and our strength put under control is that we are not resistant to God. Because you are the only one who can resist God by the act of your will. Yeah? God can't force you to do anything. But there comes a time, whether you like it or not, that you're going to bow. Yes? That's at the timing of God shifts. Now you have all the free will to do whatever it is you want to do, but there comes a time when God says, okay, it's judgment time. And at the time of judgment, you lose your ability to will. Because it is God's will that becomes sovereign over all at that point. Yeah? Now you can do whatever it is you want. No, I'm not going to do that. But there comes a day that God says, okay, that's it. We're done with that stage. Now it's the state of me fully in charge. At that point, no more. I don't want to. When he says, you're going to hell, you're not going to say, I'm not going. You're going. Is anybody listening? Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now that you have the ability to make the right decision, make that right decision. And then your joy will be increased. Why your joy? Because joy is connected to salvation. We will draw from the wells of salvation with joy. Praise the Lord. Are you seeing the connection with all of this? Now let's go back to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. He says, he will rejoice over thee with joy. And then he says, he will rest in his love. What is he talking about? What is this resting in his love? God is declaring you and I his love. And he says, I'm going to rest in my love. I'm going to perch there. I'm going to stay there. And he says, he will joy over thee with singing. Praise the Lord. This is God being romantic with his bridegroom, or bride rather. He says, I'm going to sing over you. Hallelujah. With singing. He will joy over thee with singing. He says, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Those that are sorrowful, he says, I'm going to gather you. Who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden? So I'm going to bring you. I'm going to gather every one of you that have been in that state of sorrow, in that state of grief. I'm going to gather you because you've been burdened by that. He says, behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee. In essence, I'm going to go after everyone that has been afflicting you. So we know that the struggles that we are going through are a result of the affliction of forces, whether they be men or spirits. God says, I'm going to undo all of them. And I will save her that halted, those that are struggling to walk smoothly because something's happened to their walk. He says, I'm going to save them. And what is the word of God saying about that? I will save her that halted. It's saying that God wants us to have supernatural speed. Someone says speed. Smoothness of movement. When you are halting, you are not moving smoothly. The other day I was somewhere, and I don't know, I'm not too sure where I was now, but I saw this group of ladies and they were moving, and one of them I saw, she was moving, but I felt something is wrong. She must be dragging something because the movement was not smooth. So I took time to watch, and then I saw she was halting. One leg was not moving as smoothly. And God is saying, I'm going to take every sign of halting from you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we know of a man who halted. And he halted because he was battling with an angel seeking the blessing of God. Please listen. Are we together? You honed in? And his hip bone was stabbed and went out of joint. That day, God asked him a question. What is your name? He asked him. What is your name? What is your name? Why did the angel ask him the question, what is your name? Because the last time he was asked that question, he said his name was Esau. And he stole the blessing using somebody else's name. Is somebody listening? So God had to ask him, what is your name? Now he fessed up. My name is Jacob. Okay, so now that you are Jacob, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you Israel. Praise the Lord. God is saying to us today, I am going to ask you that question, what's your name? You've been moving around with another name, and that other name that you've been carrying is coming, and it's coming with a force to reclaim its name. What are you going to do when Esau is coming with a great army? The Bible says Jacob had to release animals ahead of him and his family ahead of him, and he was in the back battling and saying, you got to bless me. You got to bless me. And God says, I can't bless you because you're carrying a different name. You're saying you are Esau, so tell me what your name really is. Because that's the only way I'm going to bless you. So God says, he says, I'm going to save that one that halts. In essence, God is saying, I'm going to bring you to an awareness of who you are. But beyond bringing you to an awareness of who you are, I'm going to elevate you past Jacob, the supplanter, to Israel. A prince with God. Amen? And gather her that was driven out. I'm going to gather those that have been driven out. Maybe you have been driven out from your marriage, driven out from your workplace, driven out from your school, driven out for whatever reason. The enemy has been after you. He says, I'm going to gather those that have been rejected, those that have been put aside. He says, I'll get them praise. Ay, ay, ay. I pray that you're receiving this prophetic word from the Lord. He says, and I will get them praise. Praise. I'm going to go and I'm going to collect praise for them. You know, it says, and fame. Oh my God. I'm going to gather to them praise and fame. In other words, I'm going to give you a name. Praise the Lord. When people hear your name, they will praise the Lord. When say, oh, that's a great man. That's a great man. That's a great man. God is saying, I'm going to wipe away your sorrows. I'm going to wipe away every pain, every shame, every confusion around you. And I'm going to declare over you, celebrate over you. I'm going to rest in you because I call you my love. Somebody shout hallelujah. Not only am I going to gather them praise and fame, it says in every land where they have been put to shame, wherever you've been put to shame, I will bring you praise and fame. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. Over and over, he says, I will do what? Gather you. Gather. What's that about? Gathering. the gathering is about God bringing us to a place of unity. When God gathers, when you gather things, you are bringing them to one place. You're bringing them to one place. And they were in one place in one accord, not Honda. In one accord, he gathered them. He said, I'm going to gather you. Why? For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity, your limitation before your eyes, what is God saying? God is saying, take the limits not only off of God, take the limits off of you. Somebody say, I can do it. Say it again, I can do it. One more time, I can do it. You can do what? Do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. If you are strengthened through Christ, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, and Christ means the anointed one and his anointing, then joy, are you ready for this? Then joy is the anointing of God on your life. Oh. Are you hearing? Joy is the anointing of God on my life. Some say, I'm anointed. Say it again, I'm anointed. One more time, I'm anointed. I am anointed with the joy of the Lord above all my fellows. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, God talking about getting us from that captivity. In Joel 2:23, he says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first what? Month. In the first what? Month. We are coming into that first month. Hallelujah. This September, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Praise God. And Rosh Hashanah is the new year. And if it's a new year, then the month that the new year starts is the first month. Amen? In the first month. In the first month. But the first month is not only that. Being the new year. The first month is the month that you recognize that you are called to be glad. The very moment you choose to begin to rejoice and recognize that you are the anointed of God, that becomes the moment that God changes things and says, the former was moderate. Why? Because I'm doing a new thing, and in this new thing, there is increase of joy. Glory be to God. Is somebody getting something out of this? He says, and he will cause to come down for you. He will cause to come down for you. He will cause to come down for you. The rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. He's going to cause it. He's going to cause things to line up to make sure that rain comes down. Hallelujah. Now, rain comes out of clouds. Will we accept that? So, there's a time when clouds gather and God is saying, it's about to rain. But it's going to rain the old and the new. It's going to rain the old and the new. So you're going to see in this move of God the awesomeness of the move of God in the Old Testament, the awesomeness of the move of God in the New Testament. And he says, you're going to experience both at the same time. Wow. He says, he's going to cause it to happen. I'm going to cause to rain the former and the latter rain. Praise the Lord. Verse 24 goes on. He says, and I will restore to you. So it's a restoration. I'll restore to you the years that the locust had eaten. You've had years that have been eaten by the enemy. The canker worm ate. The caterpillar came and ate. The palmer worm came and ate. He says, they were my great army which I sent among you. I allowed it. There are things that God allows. I may not know the reasons why he allowed it, but it's, they're part of my army. He says, whatever they've eaten, I'm going to restore. Praise the Lord. I'm going to restore to you whatever has been eaten, the years that have been eaten. Now, what is this about? Locusts come and they eat greenery. In other words, when the locust and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm came, they ate up your increase. They ate up that which you have sown. In essence, you've been sowing, but you're not seeing the results of all that you've been investing in. He says, that's about to turn. Hallelujah. There's a turnaround. Because now you're going to sow, and while you were expecting 10% increase, you're getting 50%. You're getting 100%. There's no correlation between the amount of seed you put on the ground and the harvest you're getting. Oh, come on, somebody. You did little and you're getting much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, because I am restoring to you whatever it is that has been stolen from you. And ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied. Glory be to God. And praise the name of the Lord your God. God says, I'm going to give you a name, but you're going to give me a name because you're going to be praising me. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. He says, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Somebody shout hallelujah. My people shall never be ashamed. Now, if it says my people shall never be ashamed, never means never. I said never means never. So never is not futuristic. Never includes the past. Is somebody listening? So basically God is saying, like he's always said, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? He's saying to us, you see, during those times when the caterpillar was around, when the palmer worm was around, when the canker worm was around, when all these worms were around messing with you, I didn't allow you to be ashamed. because I've been the God who is in the midst of you. Have you ever gone through a hard time and you came out of it and were just perfectly okay? Well, this is what God is talking about. That had dealt wondrously with you. It's about God always being with you, never leaving you, nor forsaking you, all through your experiences. And he's been doing that when you're connected to joy. Hallelujah. Joy. Some say joy. Some say peace. Those are those two sisters. The two sides of the coin. Praise the Lord. Those two have been operational in your life. That's why you're still here. If the enemy had his way, you wouldn't be here. Any one of God's children that fails, that falls, and is wiped out, got wiped out because they did not keep the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. And that's a decision. Just like love is a decision, joy becomes a decision. I'm going to praise the Lord. Even though he slays me, yet will I what? Praise him. So rather than I give up, I'm not going to do this anymore. Who are you hurting? The Lord asked his disciples, he says, why are you guys still here? Why didn't you guys go with the rest of them? He said, well, where else are we going to go? You have the word of life. Where else am I going to go? The worst day in you is better than the best day anywhere else. This is where I am. This is where I'm staying. I give you praise. You know, we might sometimes say about Job when he made the statement, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away, that, oh, he was wrong. Because we know that it was the enemy that came and created all that havoc. Yeah? Well, he was not altogether wrong, because it was God who said, have you checked out my son, Job? The only reason is 7 years, because of all this stuff that you gave to him. That's why. He says, okay, you can mess with him, but don't kill him. If the devil knew that at the end of it, Job was going to get double for all of his trouble, he wouldn't have messed with him. You know, the passage of scripture Mama read to us this morning was a passage of scripture that's been burning in my spirit and actually on my iPad when I turned it on. That was a scripture that was on there. Colossians 3 and verse 1. You see, your affections have to be on those things which are above. Based on what? If ye then be risen with Christ, if you died with him, then you rose also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah? He says, if you then be risen with Christ, if you're one of those that have risen with Christ, then focus your attention on those things which are above. You are beyond and above that which is beneath, because you have risen. Hallelujah. Set your affection on those things which are above, not on the things of the earth. What causes people to lose their joy? Their affections on the things of the earth. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have this. I don't have that. But what does the word of God say? He says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And everything that comes in the natural came out of the spirit. Praise the Lord. So, things may be taken from me, but because my affections are not on those things, and my affections are on Him, and I'm seated with Him, I sit above everything that is trying to control my life. Now, for that to happen, I have to have died. What is death? Separation from the flesh is death. Separation from giving honor, so much honor to the flesh, is what death is. It says, now, when you die, your life that is separated is now in Him. Okay. When you die, your life is separated. It's separated to what? To God. For you are dead, and your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. Your life is what? Hid with Christ in God. In essence, if the backside of this book is God, and this is me, and the inside pages are Christ, I am hid. When I'm still alive, I am separated. When I'm dead, my life leaves the world and comes in there. When I'm not dead, I am visible. Come on. I am what? Visible. You can see it. And this now that you can see, you can attack. But if you are dead in Christ, and therefore your life is hid in Him, you got to beat and defeat the Father, who is the mighty warrior, Jesus Christ, who single-handedly defeated the hordes of hell and took the keys of death and the grave to get to me. Why am I afraid? You're only afraid because you are alive to the world. But when you cease to be alive to the world and you're alive in Him, in Christ Jesus, seated with Him in Christ Jesus, then you are far above all principalities and powers. And then it says, I love verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, in essence, my life, when I died, the life of God became my life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the what? Of the Son of God who, what? Loved me and gave Himself for me. Faith worketh by love. Oh, glory to God. So, faith that works by love is in me. And the life that I am living, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Are you ready for this? That means I walk in, I am faith. Oh, come on. I am faith. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the day of my gladness. Me recognizing I am no longer ordinary, I am also called faith. Oh, if that doesn't help you, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We'll take it up from verse 1 through 4. And watch this. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born of God. If you believe that he is the anointed one, then you're born of God. And remember, we made a correlation between Christ, the anointing, and joy. Yes? So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the manifestation of joy, the manifestation of the anointing, is born of God. And when you are born of God, you are born from where? Above. And that which is above is above all. John 3. Yes? And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Everyone that loveth him that begot. Who gave birth to you? God. Loveth him also that is begotten of him. Who else is begotten of him? If I'm begotten of God, are you begotten of God? Then I, begotten of God, loves you, begotten of God. You remember gathering unity? Remember that begotten, I've been begotten by the one who begat, and he begat you, so you are begotten. So the begotten loves the begotten. And the begottens are the gathered ones. Praise the Lord. So you have no choice but to love me. And I have no choice but to love you. If I am born again, I am going to celebrate you with joy. Somebody shout hallelujah. By this we know that we love the children of God. That's right. Begotten loves the begotten. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? Keep his commandments. What is his commandment? Love ye one another. Do you think there's going to be the presence of joy when there's no love? No. Where there is strife, there is every manifestation of evil. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what? Grievous. Grievous grief. Grievous, burdensome, irksome. The commandments of God are not grievous. They are not filled with grief. Well, I don't like it, but I'm going to love you anyway. No. I love you, but I don't like you. That's flesh. When you love period. Amen? You may not like the actions, but love compels you to speak life. The reason we swear and we curse and we do all of that is because our mindset is still tied to the flesh. Earthy stuff. My feelings, my emotions. But when we are operating in the love of God, I don't like what you're doing. You doing it or not doing it is not going to stop the blessing of God in my life. Because I know who I am in Him. I am dead to this, and my life is hid in God, in Christ. Hallelujah. That's a decision. Now, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Anything that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Those next statements even are in italics, meaning it is put in there for us to have an understanding of what is there. And then it says, even our faith. Or I should say, even faith. Who is he? Remember, and this is a victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. What victory? That one that is born of God is the victory that overcometh the world. How does he do it? By faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The one that overcometh the world is the one that is born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you receiving that? Now, come with me to Isaiah 61. While we're going there to Isaiah 61, I want to remind you that the Word of God says in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will do what? Rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the decision. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We make that decision. I'm going to be glad today. Why? The devil did not make this day. God made it. So I make the decision, I'm going to rejoice today. I'm going to celebrate today. I'm going to be glad today. And because I make that decision to be glad today, I'm going to beseech you, Lord, the next verse tells us, send now prosperity. Send now prosperity. Save now. I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Ooh. Save now. I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Save now, I beseech you, O Lord. I beseech you, send now prosperity. What did the Word of God just say? It just told you and I that part of your calling of salvation is a calling to prosperity. I'm beseeching you, save. I'm beseeching you, send prosperity. So prosperity and salvation are together. Praise the Lord. I wish above all things that you do what? Prosper and be in what? Health, even as your soul what? Prospers. The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. The gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. Now, there are those that have misuse the word of God for their own selfish gain and preach a message of prosperity that's all about this flesh, this world. Give me, so I can enjoy this. And God's way of thinking is, no. You seek the things of God, and I'll add all of this stuff to you. I know you like all of this stuff. That's going to be bonus, but put your treasures above. Invest in heavenly resources where the thief cannot come to steal, where moth cannot come and corruption cannot come on whatever it is that you invest in. Yeah? God has never gone against prosperity. But a prosperity gospel that's about me, myself, and I is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't care if you're driving a Lamborghini or whatever. He could care less. That's nothing. That you have gold bullion. He uses that stuff for street. Yeah? It's all nonsense. So God is saying to us, don't put preeminence on those things. Don't let stuff be the things that make you happy. One day I was sitting, I said, I have this and I'm tired of it already. And it's nice. Everybody thinks it's nice. But I'm tired of it. I said, why am I feeling like this? He says, because you're not attached to it. You are not attached to that. So the value and the importance of it is no longer there. So you get tired of it. I thought something must have been wrong with me because, hey, you have this. Be satisfied with this. But I'm satisfied. But it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. It's because something else is more important. I'm not tired of investing into God and the things of God or ministering to God's people. There's no tiredness with that. I am just as sold out to that as anything else. You know, so I go to a funeral and I'm preaching salvation messages and asking people to raise their hand if they want to get saved. And they get saved. What better place to get them? Praise the Lord. You know, if I have the fear of men, I'm saying, oh, you know, this is not church. You better not preach like that. You know, somebody might get upset. How? Who cares about people getting upset? I need to preach the gospel. That's what makes me happy. Somebody's life changed. Hallelujah. You know, you give me some nice jet plane, I'll be happy for maybe a month. And then I say, Because that's not it. If it is not being used to preach the gospel, it's not important to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's get back to that scripture. Isaiah 61, verse 7. God says, for your shame ye shall have double. Wait a minute, Lord. I thought my people shall never be ashamed. Yeah. But you say, for your shame ye shall have double. That is a shame that the enemy is trying to put on you. It's not a shame that you accepted. You put Paul in prison. He's in prison, but is he really in prison when he can praise God and the prison doors are wide open and he walks out? Or you put Peter in prison and the prison doors open and he goes out? Your limitation is only based on the power that you give to whatever it is that is trying to limit you. Is that all right? It's not like the enemy will not try to limit you. But you're not buying into his agenda. It's not like the enemy is not trying to bring sickness into your life. It's that you're not coming to agreement with it. You're resisting the enemy and he will flee from you. He says, for the shame that has been heaped on you, ye shall have double. Double what? Blessings for your trouble. And for the confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Some say, in their portion. Say it again, in their portion. So you have to have a portion for you to be able to rejoice. So when the enemy is coming after you, you have to lay claim. You say, that's not my portion, this is my portion, and in your portion, you're going to rejoice. While the enemy is trying to bring confusion, you are rejoicing. Therefore, in their land, some say in their land, in their portion, in their land, they shall possess what? Double. So when the enemy is trying to put shame on you, you say, that's not my portion. But in my portion, which is that I am in Christ Jesus, he says, I'm going to receive double. Hallelujah. So we are determining what is going to happen in our lives now and in the future. Is the enemy going to be able to take away your ability to celebrate the goodness of God? Or are you going to determine, I am going to bless the name of the Lord at all times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He says, everlasting joy shall be unto them. So I say, everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. It's equivalent to eternal joy. Amen? For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, he says. Hallelujah. And their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Somebody say, I am the seed that the Lord God Almighty had blessed. God has given me a name in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. He says in verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he clothed me with the garments of salvation. He had covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Oh, watch. The bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and the bride adorneth herself with her what? Jewels. The bridegroom adorneth the bride. Is that what it says? The bridegroom adorneth the bride with jewels. What does it say? She does it herself. Now, if you don't know what your jewels are, or your jewelry, where your jewelry is, are you going to adorn yourself with it? What is part of these jewels of God? That's for another day. Hallelujah. Because there is the jewelry that God has for his people. And it's not gold and silver. But we'll take that up at another time to determine what the jewelry of God for us is. Oh well. Did you learn something today? I pray so. But I want us to, I'm going to wrap with this. We've been talking about rejoicing. And I'm going to wrap up with this. I'm going to go back to that jewelry issue. I believe the Lord will want me to go there at another time. But I want you to take note of two things as we wrap up. Psalm 119, verse 162. It says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I rejoice at thy word. This is fundamental. That you rejoice at the word of the Lord. When God's word pokes you in the wrong way, rejoice. When it pokes you the right way, rejoice. Because when it pokes you the wrong way, it's really the right way to get you realigned, repositioned, so that he can reign the former and the latter reign on your life. He says, I rejoice at thy word, for the entrance of God's word brings enlightenment, brings you to an awareness of what's happening around you, what to do, how to do, when to do, what to do. He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You just, wow, look at all this stuff that makes me joyful. He says, that's the way the word of God triggers me, gets me excited, because I've come into treasure. Now, there's a time you must not rejoice. Proverbs 24, verse 17 and 18. Proverbs 24, 17. This is important. It says, rejoice not when thine enemy, what? Falleth. And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Why? Lest the Lord see it, or see you celebrating the fall and the stumbling of your enemy, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Come. Rejoice in God. He says, but when you see your enemy in trouble, get out of it, keep your mouth shut. Don't be happy about it. He says, because if you start celebrating, oh yes, get him. God says, okay, no more. It's like this. When a father is spanking their child, and the other child is there celebrating it, the one that is celebrating will get the spanking. What business do you have celebrating their downfall? That's my child also. I want him to repent. So stay out of it. So I say, stay out of it. Again, say, stay out of it. When God is dealing with your enemy, stay out of it. If you want him to complete it, stay out of it. What did I say? Stay out of it. And once again, stay out of it. Because God is about to deal with some enemies. Amen? Hallelujah. God is about to deal some serious blows on your enemy. And God says, don't celebrate that. Stay away out of it. Let me do what I got to do. Amen? Stay out of it. Don't let your mouth scratch you. Say, well, they deserve it. Oh, okay. Because I'll leave that alone. So I say it's a new day. It's a new season. And God is blessing me to make me a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for now. Amen. Glory be to God.
Amen. Glory to God. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Why do we rejoice? Because the joy of the Lord is in me. And if the joy of the Lord is in me, that means I'm strong. Because the joy of the Lord gives me strength. If I have the strength that I need to do the will of God, we can rejoice even more. When you have joy, the joy is built, can be built. Joy builds joy. More joy happens. Rejoice. Re means again. Rejoy. Do it over and over and over. Well, I thank God that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I thank God that we can rejoice because he is the one who gives us that joy. Jesus, the love that he gives us, the love that we feel is the joy. The love that we feel that is joy is also the anointing that we have. And when we pray for others, that joy and the love of Christ goes upon that next person. Sometimes, if I'm talking to somebody, just talking, I'm not necessarily talking to the person. I'm not talking to that person. I'm talking to the spirit within the person. And it's kind of like giving it a command to change. And as well, if I'm talking good things to them, it's like a rejoicing to them. And they receive the joy of the Lord as well. They see it as a, they start laughing or they feel it too. But they don't know what they're feeling unless they're Christians already. But we're here to spread the word. We're here to spread the things that Jesus has done for us to be witnesses unto the Lord. And that's how I do it. When you speak to somebody, speak as if you're speaking to their spirit. And you'll see results that are different than as if you're speaking to their flesh. Speak into their lives. Their life is a spirit, a type of, a part of their spirit. Their life carries a body. There's a body, but that body is going to die one day. But their spirit, that life, continues. It continues unto death, or it continues unto a greater life, which is heavenly. So thank God for what he's done to each and every one of us, giving us joy that we can conquer everything. Everything that God has done for us. Now, tonight, if you haven't given your offering, it's a good time to do it. It's a type of giving thanks. It's a type of rejoicing. When you do it over and over, you're rejoicing. Doing it over and over and over. And I pray a blessing upon those who give all the time. God continues to bless them. He promises that he will bless you when you give. So thank God for the blessings after you give as well. Give your whatever you give, something to do. Go save souls. That's my thing. Go save souls. Use it for souls. And God will bless that. God will bless you with more when you give more. That's a promise as well. Tonight.